Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 14th, to welcome to the podcast a guest reader. Today we have with us Van Newell. Van and his wife Sarah have two children, Gideon and Isaac, and Van and Sarah joined our church in 2007, which was right before Wayne and I came to the church in 2008. We're so grateful, Van, that you are going to read for us today, and we look forward to this time together.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 50. Once, when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all, he is the greatest." "Master," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he is not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for whoever is not against you is for you." Today we are concluding the book of Psalms with Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with a class of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Malachi 2:17 through the end of chapter 3. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord God Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance is written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his sons who serve him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Thank you so much, Van, for joining the podcast today. Would you take a minute to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Hello, Mary. Thank you for having me. I've been going here to Mountain Brook Baptist Church for about 15 years, and my wife, Sarah, serves on the missions committee. my son Gideon went through the Mountain Brook ELC and now is a fourth grader at Chase Mallet Elementary School. And my four-year-old son Isaac is still a member of the Mountain Brook Early Learning Center.
I want to hear a little bit more about Gideon and Isaac. Tell me a little bit about their personalities and just more about your family dynamic.
I think one thing about being a parent is it really kind of makes you realize that eyes are always watching you, and not even just what you say, but how you say it, the actions and the choices that you make. And so it really kind of I'm held accountable in a lot of ways. So it's really kept me back from making some bad decisions or saying things that I'm glad I didn't say. What's interesting is that my sons are very, very different. One is a very extrovert and another is very much introverted. And their personalities are very, very different. They get along really well for sibling boys, but that's probably been the challenge, is how not only to relate to them, but just trying to help them each in their own way, because they're so different personality-wise. So that's one thing I've kind of had to learn as I'm going along.
Okay, tell me a little bit about your studies and what you do now.
I teach in the Department of English at the University of Alabama, and some of the things I teach like literature, and also help undergraduate students research their majors to kind of learn more about what they want to study.
Van, I want to hear a little bit about your journey of faith. Will you talk to us a little bit about how you came to Christ and maybe how he has sustained you throughout the years?
I became a Christian at a very young age. I grew up in a family that was very faith was a central part of their lives. My father was a minister. I'm trying to think, as far as my journey, I think part of it comes with moments and times of maturity and immaturity and struggle, mountains and valleys. And I think, you know, this past year having COVID and then also having complications as a result of it, you know, I think these are all interesting times, and in that we kind of will be able to kind of reflect and look and see that we're stronger as a result of the challenges that we've kind of faced ourselves personally, but also as a church collectively.
I always like to ask for a little fun fact about you or about your job. Can you tell me some fun facts?
One of the most interesting things or enjoyable things I like to do is sometimes I teach a world literature class. I'm able to teach in a quote-unquote secular classroom about the Gospels. And, you know, I'll have students from several different countries or that didn't grow up or aren't, you know, believers. And so I try and pick something that I think will resonate. And the thing that really kind of resonates with them is the story of the prodigal son, because it deals with sibling rivalry and looking at others and parental relationships. And I think it's kind of a universal. And what was really interesting, I had a couple Jewish students that had never heard this story, and they really thanked me and really appreciated it. So that was a really affirming and rewarding part of my job that I've been able to do.
Thank you so much, Van, for joining the podcast today and for reading for us. We would love it if you would close our time together with prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to be together. And thank you for Mary and all her efforts. And thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity just to spend time together.